Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR, is with me again here on a Friday morning. Thanks for being here, Kenny.
Always good to join you. We are on the last weekend before the holidays.
Yes.
And we had a decent amount of snow throughout Minnesota just yesterday, except for in Two Harbors.
Well, I have to admit, it's gratifying to get that recognition, at least. That we did. And I mentioned before, it is white here in Two Harbors, barely, but it is white. And so, it was pretty, the first topic of conversation throughout the area I was in, being that they had canceled the school and everything. And it was just a big deal. And then having it not pan out was disappointing on many levels for a lot of people. But I guess that's the way the ball bounces. Tell us how the ball bounced this time.
Yeah. So, I think basically there was Weather Service did a good job generally, and they're great forecasters who are better at anyone in the world at using the tools available. But sometimes, the tools were in a sense only as good as our tools. I think we've talked about how, you get this sort of curmudgeon counter argument sometimes. How come weather forecasting is so hard? My grandfather used to just sit on a hill with a wet thumb and knew the weather for the next 5 days, to which I say, nonsense. He didn't do that. There might have been there's often some intuition and people get a sense of things based on their own experiences and observations and whatnot. But ultimately, meteorology is an extremely hard, multi-dimensional fluid mechanical science problem. Meaning, you've got an Earth that's moving through space. It's rotating on an axis. There's a layer of fluids that surrounds the Earth that we call the atmosphere. And the rotation of the Earth puts those fluids in motion. And then they're also forced to move by the regular, by the physics of this whole system, what we call differential heating, because the sun is stronger in some areas than in others, or differential heating because the water absorbs heat and releases that heat at a longer time frame than, say, land. So you get these differences in how much heat is available. Also, you have heat rising, and then you've got gravity holding that whole system down. It's incredibly complicated. Mm-hmm. I had whole big caveats just to say, the tools that almost all forecasters are using and have at their disposal right now really kind of converged. They did two things that would have made the forecast really hard. One was that generally forecasters use kind of a consensus. They kind of go with consensus. That's, there's lots and lots and lots of different models that are running these forecasts. So different parts of the country, different parts of the world, different types of models with slightly different strengths and weaknesses. And then they also have, for many of these models, multiple versions of them. And so, everyone kind of has their favorite one or two or five that they like to look at, but there's dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of what are called members, these individual model runs that are available. And so the forecasting community uses what's called an ensemble generally, which is kind of a blend of those models. Just think of sort of like an average. Imagine you're just kind of fuzzing your eyes, not focusing too much on the individual details, and looking for sort of the smartest description of the middle of that. And those are models that are not just run at the same time as each other, but even ones that were run previously. And so there's this kind of the wisdom of using that is that the masses are probably telling you more than some outrageous member is telling you. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of go with that consensus. And in this case, the consensus really had pointed for a long time to northern Minnesota getting the heaviest snow, like basically north of the Twin Cities and up into parts of the Arrowhead and on the North Shore. And it was only in the day before that the model started shifting it south, And this is the real problem is often when that happens, they then bounce back, you know, in one run right before the event's going to begin.
Right.
And that kind of, I think, you know, I can't blame anyone for sort of having some skepticism over that southward shift. But then what actually happened is the storm went even farther south than the models had indicated.
Oh.
And this kind of took, I'd say it took parts of the areas that had been forecast for the heaviest snow almost out of play. You know, in the original model scenario, what would have happened is you would have had a pretty good amount of moisture streaming over the Arrowhead onto Lake Superior, but then intersecting easterly winds off of the lake. Well, that's why you were put into a winter storm warning. It's actually kind of a no-brainer. You're going to already have a lot of moisture there. Air is plenty cold, and then you're going to get a boost of extra moisture being fueled by the winds off the lake, which is then also going to ride uphill and intensify the snow even more inland. So that was kind of like a no-brainer forecast, but because that moisture was shifted south, that intersection didn't materialize, and you were really only left with pretty light snow, even in the areas that got more than a half inch or an inch. It was, you know, generally 1 to 3 inches along the shore down towards Duluth. And heavier snows, maybe 5 to 8 inches, closer to the Minnesota River, southwestern Twin Cities metro suburbs, and into the Rochester area. That's really where the kind of bullseye was. And again, this all ended up being about, depending on which version you look at, maybe 50 to 100 miles farther south than kind of what had been expected as recently as Wednesday night.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to hear what happened, because there was a lot of sort of tossing off of it doesn't even mean anything anymore. And maybe people are feeling that this has happened more than once. I personally would be very curious to see some kind of study that shows the microclimate of Two Harbors. Mm. But because I do note that we are the only city on the North Shore. Well, no, Grand Marais, but Grand Marais is kind of tucked in. We're kind of poked out. You know, it's just we really are right on the lake, and maybe that changes things. But there's a lot coming that looks kind of wild. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So basically, you do have, you legitimately have two more shots at snow before the holiday begins. So, you know, take heart. there's a little bit of hope yet. It's not what you would think of as sort of blockbuster snow. In fact, the first one's kind of, it's iffy if it's going to, how well it's going to materialize, but there's a little disturbance riding in from the northwest. That'll be earlier this weekend. It may produce snow showers Saturday and into Sunday. It doesn't look robust or intense, but these are the kinds of things when you've already got cold air in place, they can sometimes squeeze out. You know, it doesn't take much to deliver an inch of snow in those situations. Mm-hmm. You only need a couple few hundredths of an inch of precipitation. The more likely candidate to produce some snow would be on Sunday night and Monday. And that's a system that's looking kind of healthy on the models right now. And it has what we call like a more northern bias. It's favoring kind of northern and eastern parts of the region more so than, say, the southern areas. It doesn't have a really strong signature on some of the models, and has, you know, because it's like the energy is going to be moving through the area and optimizing as it passes away. And so sometimes the precipitation in that situation doesn't materialize until you get into, you know, until it gets into Wisconsin or Michigan. So that is a risk, but, you know, about half the models right now have a, you know, 1 to 3, maybe 4 inch snow somewhere in northeastern Minnesota during that time, Sunday, Monday. And then there's a warm up coming. And
yeah.
So that's going to be a big change. It's going to take us right through December, and probably, I don't know how deep into January it's going to go. We're getting kind of mixed signals on that. It looks like a warm and active pattern, which means a continued kind of parade of weather systems. So unfortunately, it could be weird if, you know, I think southern Minnesota, central Minnesota, and certainly much of Cook County and the whole international border, that area is guaranteed a white Christmas because of how much snow we got because of the time of year. It would be odd if Two Harbors doesn't quite get enough to withstand the warming that's probably going to set up, you know, on the 24th and into the 25th, where temperatures could rise above freezing and melt some snow.
So after
that, as we get into that active pattern, everything coming through has rain as a signal. We don't know how much, you know, the pattern's too far out to know where these systems are really going to go. But if they continue to come to kind of pass west and north of the region and be associated with that really warm air, then we would expect most precipitation events, say between Christmas and the New Year, to have at least some rain mixed in, if not be all rain or mostly rain. So that's kind of what we're looking at. I got, a couple chances for snow over the next couple days, next few days, especially in northeast Minnesota. But if you don't get it, then I can't make any promises right around the shore in Two Harbors where there just hasn't been much snow this winter. Because then we're going to warm up. It could be kind of a photo finish. And if, you know, at that point, the definition of white Christmas is almost a technicality.
Yeah.
You know, if there's an inch of snow on the ground on Christmas morning, it counts. Well, and you can round up if it's more than a half an inch. It always rounds to the whole inch. So it's, you know, but you might not think of that as like, oh, yes, this is the Christmas of my dreams. So I don't know. It doesn't look great. I hope you do get that Monday snow. That would be nice. It would refresh the landscape a bit.
Yes. Well, it will be what it will be. That's one thing we know. And then are you available next week, or are we going to be waiting 2 weeks to hear from you again?
I believe I'm here next week, yeah.
Okay, good.
Working, you know, just taking a little bit of time off right around the holiday. But otherwise, we work generally the 24th, 26th. State employees, we're just go, go, go.
Right. You know? You guys are, you don't take no breaks.
Yeah, we do, but
you're 2 weeks a year.
Yeah, we also take what the state gives us.
I know. Well, thanks so much, Kenny, and we'll talk again in 7 days, sounds like.
Yeah, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
And, we'll talk to you on the other side.
You bet.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye-bye. Kenny Blumenfeld's Weather Tidbits.